Good evening. I'll call the meeting to order. My name is Paula Reid, Mayor of Kingborough, and it's my pleasure to welcome you all to tonight's meeting on Monday the 18th of August 2025. Welcome to the members we have in the public gallery. A particular welcome to members of the Blacklands Bay Scouts Group who are with us this evening. We're delighted to have you with us. The time being 5:30pm, I now officially declare the meeting open. Council now operates under the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations of 2025, and under these I am required to advise you that an audio or audio-visual recording is being made of the meeting. All persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. The audio recording of council meetings is made publicly available on our website and meetings are live streamed on YouTube. I'll now ask the CEO to confirm that the audio recording has started.
It has.
Thank you. Can I also ask those who are in the public gallery to make sure that your mobile phones are either turned off or on silent, please? That would be appreciated. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reid, the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordover, Councillor Dean, Councillor Richardson and Councillor Street. From our staff this evening we have the CEO, Mr Stewart, Director of People and Finance, Mr Spinks, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, the Director of Engineering Services, Mr Mackey, the Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Ms Shakuti, our Communications Lead, Ms Adams, our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton, and our Senior Customer Services Officer, Ms Jones. We have two apologies this evening, one from Councillor Fox and the other one from Councillor Midgley. We're on page one of the agenda. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting No. 13 held on the 4th of August 2025 be confirmed as a true record. Got a mover in Councillor Cordover and a seconder in the Deputy Mayor. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried. Workshops held since the last council meeting. We had a workshop last Monday evening, the 11th of August, in relation to the AFL High Performance Centre. Declarations of interest. Does any councillor have a declaration of interest? No, thank you. And we're now on to transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from closed into open session or open into closed session? Thank you very much. Takes us to page two, questions without notice from the public. Before I go to those, I just wanted to remind people who might like to ask a question this evening, and we certainly encourage that, that the procedures for asking a question is that this is the time for asking questions, not for debating them. Answers will be given, but there is no discussion or debate. Your questions should be short and clear. Not be a statement and have little or no introduction. So having said that, if you would like to ask a question, if you could approach the lectern there for the microphone, and you need to begin by stating your name and the suburb in which you live. Sorry, if you could just state, just check that that's on. Thank you. And you need to be quite close to the microphone so the recording can pick it up.
Great. Natisha Knight, property owner from Woodbridge.
Thank you.
I just want to ask a couple of questions. So one is the planners who prepared the 35F Section 35 report, are the people who made those responses, are they made public, as in the names of the planners who responded to the 35F?
Ms Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. Just seeking a little bit of clarification in terms of the authors of the report.
Correct, yeah.
I can't tell you off the top of my head if it's in the actual report, the authors. However, if you were to look at the agenda where the Section 35F report was tabled, the associated council report has the names of the planning manager and our strategic planner who compiled the report, but also would like to note that that report was also reviewed by our relevant members of the executive at council as well.
So each individual response that would be by all those people?
Ms. Chakoudi.
Through you, Mayor. So the authors of the Section 35F report reviewed each representation. Mm. Is that the question?
Yes.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
You have two questions remaining.
If the recommendations in the 35F report differs from council policy, does that override the policy?
Ms. Chakoudi.
Through you, Mayor. Difficult to answer without knowing the specifics of potentially what the policy relates to that you're asking about.
Mm-hmm.
The recommendations have to be in accordance with the guidelines provided by the state for drafting the Section 35F report and applying the zoning codes and SAPs for the new scheme in our draft LPS. So I have to either take it on notice or know more specifics about your question.
Did you want specifics?
Through you, Mayor. Yes, you can provide specifics. Whether I'll be able to answer tonight, right now, without looking at the policy
sure.
in detail and the Section 35F report, but we can take it on notice.
So it's just about rural zoning, being able to build under rural zoning. It states that it needs to be accessed by a publicly maintained road, so public works maintained road. On the Crown land, it's stating that, under my understandings, that you cannot build because that's not fronting publicly maintained road. However, in the response to my submission, I'm stated that all you need is access to the property.
Ms. Chakoudi.
Through you, Mayor. I'll have to take that one on notice.
Great. One other question, if I may. Changing from environmental to rural zoning, so we're moving from a zone that is not discretionary to a discretionary zone. Why is that not being taken into consideration with the change of zonings?
Ms. Chakoudi.
Through you, Mayor. So to describe the process overall is the zones that we apply under the draft LPS are what are contained under the Tasmanian Planning Scheme. So council did not draft the requirements of those different zones. Our, I suppose, role is to apply the zones through the municipality in consideration of representations received during the exhibition period, but also in accordance with guidelines and direction from the State Planning Office and the Planning Commission. So I imagine, and again, I haven't got the detail in front of me, it was considered, and that's why we are encouraging our community members who have concerns and who made a representation to go to the hearings and present those concerns to the Commission, who, and then you will have an opportunity to, I suppose, provide the rationale why it is a concern to you and on your property, and the Planning Commission will then make a decision based on all matters that are relevant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to ask a question?
Charles Biggins, Leslie Vale. Council already acknowledges on their website the creation of a private land reserves via a network of land under voluntary conservation covenants. Does the advertised private land reserve system include the 52 parcels of private land under conservation covenants due to Part 5 offset agreements?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor, I don't believe it does, but I'll have to take that on notice to seek clarification.
Thank you. Do you have another question?
Yeah, sure. Will land under landscape conservation zoning and under the protection of the trees on private land bylaw and subject to the biodiversity offset provisions have more or less environmental protection than land currently under a conservation covenant?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. That would depend on the requirements of the particular conservation covenant.
Is the extension of Council's private land reserves across another 1,500 properties using a combination of landscape conservation zoning, the trees on private land bylaw and the biodiversity offset policy for the benefit of the general public? And if not for the public's, then whose benefit is Council doing it for?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor, I just have to seek clarification of the question. Are you asking that our reserve network is utilising those three mechanisms for protection? Or
obviously they are for protection.
Of our council
for
natural reserves or?
No, for private land.
So the planning scheme zones and codes apply a level of protection. We also then have our offsetting policy, which operates separately from the scheme but relates to when there is vegetation clearing of high conservation value trees. And for clarification, the bylaw is still a draft bylaw at present, so is not in place.
And the CEO, the CEO would just like to add to that answer.
Now, through you, Mayor, I was just going to clarify the same point as our director just pointed out, that the tree bylaw, whilst it's been publicly consulted on, is not currently in effect.
The actual question was, for whose benefit are these measures being taken, these conservation measures being taken? Is it for the general public? And if not for the general public, for whose benefit are these conservation measures being taken?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. The conservation measures are being taken to protect environmental values within our municipality where appropriate. In terms of the offset policy, that is a council-endorsed policy that I believe has had some consultation over the years, so it is representing the community and for their benefit.
Now, I think you might, at a push, have one question left.
No, that was the question. Thank you very much. So it is, just to confirm, these measures are for the benefit of the general public.
The CEO.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Can I just make an additional comment here, that we're talking about a few different things here. For example, a conservation covenant is around the protection of private land for the good of the environment. That's something that's undertaken by private landholders. The zoning under the planning scheme is a different thing altogether. the reason we have a planning scheme is to ensure that right across the municipality, whether it be in urban areas, you know, the middle of a township like Kingston, or whether it be in our rural communities, that development is undertaken in a way that preserves the amenity of the environment, our built environment, our natural environment, and creates a balance. It also does things like stops urban sprawl, going beyond things like the urban growth boundary and other elements like that. So there's a number of reasons why we have a planning scheme. Protection of our values, whether they be from a livability perspective or from an environmental perspective, are some of the things that are undertaken there. So they're both from an individual benefit for private landholders, but also for a benefit of the wider community. If you think about, you know, you want to know that what your neighbour's doing is in keeping with the nature of the land around you and the development that you can undertake on your land as well. So there's a variety of both private benefit and public benefit associated with these various controls over land development.
Thank you very much.
Does anybody else have any questions that they would like to ask? No? Thank you. That takes us to page 2, questions on notice from the public. If you do wish to submit a question on notice, you can do so by completing the relevant form on Council's website or by emailing kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au, and we certainly encourage that. We had a number of questions on notice. The first one was from Mrs. Roberts with a response from Ms. Tyler Moore in relation to fencing and boundaries. The second one was from Mr. Elcock with a response from Ms. Quinn in relation to biodiversity offset contributions. And on page 4, we had a question from Ms. Landon with a response from Ms. Tyler Moore in relation to the local provisions schedule. Takes us to page 5, questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? Just be careful with the cords.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, ma'am. My first question is about an aquatic centre for Kingborough. Please may we have an update on the workings of the Aquatic Facility Steering Committee? And what progress has there been, and what kind of timeframes are we looking at for more public reporting on that?
Mr. Smee should be able to help us with that one.
Through you, Mayor. Council has a community committee that is assisting in our investigations into the feasibility of an aquatic centre for Kingborough. One of the key steps that the committee has taken has been to assist council in preparing an application to the precincts partnership program. It's a federal government funding program, and that funding application aims to provide funding assistance to do planning work associated with a potential aquatic facility. And that has been in for many months now, and we are awaiting an official outcome of that. And pending the outcome of that, we'll then determine what work the committee is able to do going forward. But at this stage, we're in a bit of a holding pattern, waiting for an official word on that particular grant program.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, can we have, please, some assurance that even if the funding isn't forthcoming, that there will still be progress on planning for an aquatic facility in Kingborough?
Well, we don't have anything else budgeted in this financial year that I'm aware of, but Mr. Smee.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, providing an aquatic facility in Kingborough is a huge challenge, and the committee have been appraised of all of the issues associated with the massive challenge that we have going forward in terms of being able to progress capital funding, and then in order to develop a concept that minimises the operational impact of an aquatic facility on council's expenditure. So, you know, I don't want to provide any false hope that there is going to be something happening anytime soon, because there is a huge challenge ahead of us, and at this stage we don't even know if it's feasible. The brief given to the committee was to investigate the feasibility to determine if there is a model that could be feasible for council to pursue, and that work is ongoing. But at this stage, there is a commitment from committee members that they will continue to chip away at this, but there is also a realisation that this is a huge mountain to climb, and it will take a considerable amount of time, and it's going to take external funding for it to be able to become a reality.
Councillor Cordover.
Thank you, Mayor. The final question on this topic is, and then I've just got one other topic to deal with quickly. I've long advocated to kind of hypothecate funding so that we're putting aside money, almost a sinking fund, if you'll pardon the pun, for saving up money to put towards an aquatic centre. Is that something that the working group has been considering, and is that something that even if the grant funding doesn't come through or federal government funding doesn't come through, is that something that Kingborough Council is actively considering, that is putting aside money bit by bit over a long period of time in order to fund an aquatic centre?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I'm aware that that particular proposal has been floated in Council's budget discussions. Again, excuse the pun, it wasn't even deliberate. it's not something that Council has made a commitment to. The committee are looking at all potential options. It could be something that is recommended, but we are talking a development that will need tens of millions of dollars, and you know, I don't think Council putting aside $500,000 is going to make any real impact on our ability to fund this project going forward. As I said previously, it's going to require a substantial amount of external funding.
If I can just add to that, perhaps to put it into context, the report that the Glenorchy City Council received earlier this year for a replacement for the Glenorchy pool suggested that if they wanted a 50 metre outdoor pool and then a smaller indoor pool, so I'll repeat that, an outdoor 50 metre outdoor and then an indoor sort of aquatic centre type, that along with some gym facilities, that was in the order of $80 to $85 million for an outdoor pool, and that is a substantial commitment, and I would probably expect that for that amount of money you would want, and for our climate, that our residents would want an indoor pool. So the cost is certainly a significant issue, not only in the development but also in the annual running costs, because there are, as our CEO is well aware from his previous positions that he's held where he has managed aquatic facilities, the ability of an aquatic facility of any kind, no matter how many bells and whistles you put on it, to actually make money is very, very limited. Most of them, I think I was told there's only one pool in Australia that actually makes money. There are it would incur a substantial loss. I think we estimated in the previous incarnation, we estimated around $300,000 a year loss because of the running costs associated.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. A second question now, this time about the Snug Clean Air Community Project. Can council officers please provide an update on any current strategies or programs addressing wood smoke pollution in our municipality, particularly in areas like Snug, and advise on how council could collaborate with or support innovative community-led awareness projects such as the recent Snug 2025 Clean Air Initiative, which I only became familiar with recently. Basically, they're using LED lights to light up the tree at the Snug School, and it's directly correlated with the air quality. So if air quality is of a certain amount, then the tree lights up a certain colour, and if the air quality is better, then it lights up a different colour. So it's a really cool community project, and I was just wondering whether council's going to get involved in that in any way.
Thank you. I was not aware of it, so thank you for sharing that. Ms. Shakuti, were you aware of that project?
through you, Mayor. No, I wasn't. But, yes, so thank you for sharing. It sounds really interesting and valuable. Something that we can talk to our environmental health team about potentially becoming involved. And I'm not aware of any specific initiatives we've undertaken this year, but we do from time to time awareness campaigns around wood smoke and community health, but we will look into the program. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cordova.
Thanks very much, Mayor. Through you, my question is, do we see the value in linking together different community groups? And the preface to that question is that I only found out about this Snug 2025 community project through the really wonderful Snug Beach walk and talk that took place, where our Natural Areas Biodiversity team was talking about coastal erosion and climate change. And on that walk, it brought together people from all around Snug, and that's how, you know, those community groups got together. So that was my bit of a Dorothy Dixer question there about whether we see those linkages, and so are we going to look to doing more community projects through the NAB team that bring people together like that?
Thank you. Oh, did you want an answer to that? Yes. There you go.
Through you, Mayor. Absolutely, and it's a model we've been looking at for various areas, not just for natural areas. Another really good example is our emergency management in terms of facilitating and helping develop a framework for our communities to connect, and so they are more resilient for, you know, the changes we'll be facing as communities for emergency I suppose, climate events, but also connecting our community for, you know, who would like to work together for environment initiatives, community health initiatives. So, yes, absolutely, it's a model that we are going to try and use more and more.
Thank you. Do any other councillors have a question without notice? No, thank you. We're still on page 5. Questions on notice from councillors. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from councillors. And still on page 5, petitions, there are no petitions still being actioned, and at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. Still on page 5, we're now at officers' reports to council, and we have the annual plan for 2025-26 with a recommendation on the following page. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. And I've got a mover in the Deputy Mayor and a seconder in Councillor Antoli. The Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. The purpose of this report is to present Council with the annual plan for 25-26. In our discussions about the annual plan, we requested that Council make it nice and concise and really accessible, and I think staff have taken on that feedback really well. The plan provides a snapshot of the strategic priorities of Council, those being key priority one, there's only three, encourage and support a safe, healthy and connected community, deliver quality infrastructure and services, and number three was sustaining the natural environment whilst facilitating development for the future. So it's a really good read. It will be available on the Council's website and also available at the service desk, and I'm happy to lend my support.
Thank you very much. Any further comments, Councillor Antoli? And just before you do, there are a couple of typos in here. They have been fixed. So I know we all love to, we're very good at proofreading, but we've picked those up, so they'll be fixed in the final one. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I did not have anything on typos, so you can rest easy. I know that I normally pick on those sorts of things. Look, I really enjoyed seeing a market shift in the prominence of planning in this particular document as opposed to years past, and obviously it's topical, so I can understand that. And I like the way that this time round it's been framed as a core enabler for housing, for sustainability and community outcomes, not just regulatory obligation. So I heartily endorse that component of the plan. Planning is at the core. And it's important to note that both councillors and the community will be watching closely to see these commitments translated into results and I love the update about the residential strategy review, the Kingston CBD structure plan implementation. And I also was pleased to see that there's some regional collaboration work that's been pushed, and we're moving away from the Southern Tasmanian Council's authority, which we will be discussing later in today's meeting, with a new collaborative network model. Can I ask a question around that if someone's able to answer it? I hope it's not too premature because we are discussing it later. The new model that we would like to maybe move towards, is there a reason around... Let me ask this question more clearly. Is there a chance that the new model might allow us to be more open or available to federal funding? Is that an option as well, or a consideration?
The CEO.
Through you, Mayor. Thanks for the question. And look, as a council, we need to be looking at how we bring other revenue streams into the organisation outside of our rate space. So looking for grant funding opportunities, like through the federal government, is a key opportunity. When you see councils collaborating and working together, it does bring that sort of critical mass and a key opportunity for being attractive to grant funders so that they can see a larger impact from their investment, and we can deliver wider benefit, I guess, across not only our communities here in Kingborough but across other council areas as well.
Thank you.
Councillor Antoli.
Yeah, just so happy to endorse the plan, and I just want to thank the officers for the work. And it is easier to read. I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just visually a very appealing plan, and I just appreciate the effort that goes into it because there is a lot.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. First question is around priority 1.2.3 on page 11, maximise the usage of the Kingborough Community Hub as a focal point for community activities. I just wanted a quick update on how we feel that's going and how we plan to, improve outcomes around making the hub a focal point.
Ms Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. So we've actually completed, a substantial amount of work in progressing this. So we have at the moment a draft action plan for further activation of the hub space. That plan, the actions contained in that plan is about what we have the capacity to do within our resources at the moment to further enhance and promote and utilise the space and partner with different organisations to do that. We are planning on, once finalising that plan, communicating to councillors, likely in a workshop. And then there are some more aspirational objectives which will, I imagine, tie into the remainder of the development of the site, as they will probably be contingent on the different uses that end up being in the overall precinct.
Councillor Cordova.
The other one that stood out to me, well, there are a couple more, but emergency services hub in Kingborough. So we're advocating for an emergency services hub in Kingborough. Just wondering if how close are we to achieving that?
Certainly, I think it's disappointing to see that has stalled. There were discussions that had occurred some time ago. There had been a budget allocation that the state government had provided in last year's state budget of $15 million. And when I met with the then Minister for Emergency Services, Minister Felix Ellis, several months after the budget was brought down, he indicated that funding was not for relocating the works depot down to Beretta to free up that location for the planned emergency services hub, but in fact that money was for construction of the hub. So that obviously posed an issue for us, because we'd only given in principle agreement to talk about that land being used, provided that the state government undertook the and funded that move of our works depot for us. It's gone very, very quiet, unfortunately, since then. I know that there is concern amongst many of the emergency services who operate within Kingborough about, for example, the police station, and the CEO and I are meeting with the police inspector again later this week. You know, they continue to burst at the seams. The fire station at Redwood Road have significant issues in accommodating their volunteers, and particularly for separate change rooms for male and female volunteers. So it is a real issue, but it seems to have unfortunately gone very, very quiet. And we are trying to reactivate those discussions because we did identify some alternative land that is central, reasonably centrally located, that would provide good access for the emergency services vehicles. And that is land that is already owned by the state government themselves, but it seems to have gone quiet on that as well. So I recently met with the police commissioner at an event that I was at, and I did indicate to her our desire to see this progressed and the need for it, and particularly with some of the constraints that are on the existing services. So she's very well aware of it as well, and I have indicated a willingness for us to continue to work with representatives of her department and all of the agencies involved to try and make that become a reality.
Thank you. When there's more certainty around what's happening with state government, hopefully things will happen there. My last question is around both the council's tree strategy and also our resourcing for climate change. They're kind of interlinked, I think. Basically, the question is, it says at 1.4.2 that we're going to facilitate community engagement on climate change and strengthen community resilience to its impacts. And then also at 3.1.1, we're going to deliver on council's tree strategy and maintain our significant tree register. My question is really, are we adequately resourced to do that? Are we confident that I'm interested to kind of unpack what the tree strategy will include, the full scope of it, and I'm also interested to know, are we actually resourcing climate change initiatives sufficiently to meet our goals?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. For the stage of our climate work that we are in, I believe we are sufficiently resourced with a dedicated resource mapping out that work and facilitating the development and implementation of the different mitigation projects that we will be progressing at council. In terms of the tree strategy, that is an area where we have struggled in the past in terms of resourcing. However, we have some different ideas of how perhaps we can share some responsibilities across our teams where there's some synergies to help progress that. So I hope we can.
Councillor Cordova, anything further?
That's
no?
Thanks.
Any other contributions on the annual plan? Just briefly then, before I ask Councillor Gladwright if she'd like to sum up, I just wanted to make a brief contribution. Look, the annual plan is something that is required under the Local Government Act for every council to present every year. There is a certain requirement for what information goes into it. Essentially, I guess the basic explanation of what the annual plan is, it's a way of showing to the community that as a council, the day-to-day activities of what we're doing are focused on moving us closer to achieving the strategies that we have and the priorities in our strategic plan. So given we're in the final year of our current strategic plan, what you'll see in future with our annual plan is probably much different because we'll be basing it off a different strategic plan. But essentially it is, really trying to, I guess it's guiding us and giving the community the assurance that the things that we do are all interlinked. We don't just do a grab bag of things according to the whim of staff, but that we have a strategic lens that is placed over everything we do, and these are the actions that underpin it. So it's very much a document that we then report on to the community. So in our annual report, we then report at the end of the year to the community on what we achieved against the things in the annual plan. So I just thought it might be useful to put that in context, and there are certain things that we are also obliged under this to, like the public health summary and our budget estimates and performance monitoring. There's things that we are also obliged under the Local Government Act to include in there, which might make your eyes want to glaze over, but they are. It's important that we're fulfilling our obligations under the Local Government Act. So can I just add my thanks to the staff who have put this together and who will importantly be working towards achieving each of these actions throughout the year. Councillor Gladewright, did you want to sum up? No, I'll put the recommendation then. It's moved by Councillor Gladewright and seconded by Councillor Antoli. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried unanimously. Takes us to page 18, the Collaborative Network of Southern Tasmanian Councils, with a recommendation on page 21. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved, Councillor Cordova, and seconded, Councillor Bain. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. So the Southern Tasmanian Council Authority wound up, and so now there's a new collaborative network of Southern Tasmanian Councils being proposed, and basically the ask here within this report is that Kingborough Council contributes $9,500 in order to maintain those activities. I just will speak very briefly and very broadly about how important it is to collaborate with local councils when it comes to things like achieving a circular economy or waste management or emergency management. Or I mean, there's a million things you can think of where it really makes sense to, where you can share resources, but most critically share the intelligence and the wisdom of all the people in the different municipalities. So by bringing local government authorities together like that, you really do get the best outcomes. There's no point in trying to reinvent the wheel, a dozen different times. It's something that I think everybody's aware of, is that the needs of a large municipality like ours, or like Glenorchy, Clarence or Hobart, are different from those of, say, Tasman, the Tasman Council down on the Tasman Peninsula. Very rural areas have different needs from very urban areas, and there's a general awareness of that, but it still pays dividends to bring people together to have a collaborative space. And I think a lot of the conversation that took place several years ago around local government reform, often it kind of glossed over the extent to which there is already resource and knowledge sharing that takes place. And these kind of collaborations like that, they often do a power of work in creating cost efficiencies, but also in sharing wisdom. So I support the proposal. I think $9,500 as a percentage of our overall budget is very, very small. And so I think it's a worthy cause, and I do support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Any further contributions? So I've got Councillor Dean and then Councillor Street. Councillor Dean.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. just a question, really. I wasn't around when we withdrew our membership of the previous authority. I was just curious, Mayor, whether you were, and maybe you could provide some context around that experience and whether, I suppose, what's generally shifted. I know there's some things pointed out in the report, but if you could give us maybe your take on the change and, you know, your views on why we should now go down this path, whereas previously we obviously adopted out.
Yeah. So I didn't have a great deal of involvement with STCA because it was prior to me becoming Mayor, we had been a member of it for a long period of time, and I was certainly on council 5 or 6 years ago when we decided to review the investment that we were making in that organisation, because I think from memory it was around $30,000 a year, but I could be wrong, don't quote me on that, but it was substantially more than what we're being asked to contribute here, because that went to employing an executive officer collectively between the 12 southern councils. My understanding of what occurred is that it wasn't overly productive. It didn't have, I guess, a set of KPIs that it worked towards. And as Councillor Cordova mentioned, the interests were so varied between, you know, the small rural councils and the bigger urban ones, that gradually the urban ones drifted away. And then, of course, we had the formation of the Greater Hobart Partnership with the four Greater Hobart councils. But I do think that if you look at the local government review and the recommendations there about resource sharing, that there is a place for another organisation such as this one, where the 12 of us do come together to look at, you know, what economies of scale that we could get through this. And although we might seem vastly different from Tasman Council or Huon Valley or so on, I think that if we have a structure in which to look at the similarities rather than the differences, that we may find that there is common ground there that we can draw on. And I think strategically as a region to come together to talk about the issues that that face us, I think that's very healthy. They certainly have got these associations working in the north and the northwest, so the Cradle Coast Authority for the northwest and the regional Northern Regional Development, I think it's called, for the north. And they have been around for a long time. They obviously worked differently from STCA, so I think that perhaps a refresh with a smaller commitment would be useful here, although I would probably issue a word of caution, and that is that I'd like to see 6 monthly reports from this organisation so that we can see that the sorts of things that the objectives that are articulated in this report, that there is some evidence that they are being worked towards, and that we don't just give this a tick and flick for 2 years and say, well, this is the 2-year funding agreement for RDA, TAS, you know, we'll see you in 2 years. I'd like to see 6 monthly reports so that we can have some assurance that it's money well spent and that we are achieving what this organisation has set out to achieve. Councillor Street. No? Lost the will? Okay, thank you. Councillor Cordova, did you want to sum up? No? All right. I will put the recommendation then moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Bain. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. That takes us to page 22, Risk Management Policy, with a recommendation on the following page. And I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Cordova and Councillor Bain. Councillor Cordova is doing all the heavy lifting tonight.
Thank you, Mayor. This will be a quick one. So the risk management policy is, there's only editorial changes in this, basically changing the term general manager, the terminology there, changing it to CEO. Importantly, this policy has been reviewed by the audit panel. And in general, at a very high level, it's about having a framework for identifying and treating safety, financial, reputational, stakeholder, legal and environmental risks. As there are no major changes and we've looked at it before, I'm very happy to support moving it tonight, but obviously it's incumbent on me to reflect on how critical it is that we manage our inherent risks well, we set risk treatments, and that we have a broad awareness of what our risk appetite is as an organisation, because you can't achieve great things without taking some risk. I mean, think of any investment in our own lives, whether it's, you know, getting higher education or whether it's going for that job or whatever it might be. You do have to take some risk in order to get reward, but it's about identifying what those risks are and treating them so that things don't come back to bite you. So in a very broad way, this is one of the most critical elements that any council can look at, managing, identifying and treating our risks. I think we do it well so far, but it's really good that we review this regularly. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Any further contributions? Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Mine is an administrative question. It's regarding the policy numbering or the version numbering. So this is an update. Has the version number been updated to 6.0, which is what's written, or should it be updated from policy number 3.10? So maybe an answer.
CEO.
Yeah.
Through you, Mayor. So the version with the track changes, I believe, is version 6.0, but in the final version, which is the clean version, I think it's got version 7.0 on the front.
Go.
So that shows the update that's come through.
So it's not the policy number that would change, it's just the version control number. Okay,
correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I will put the... Councillor Cordova, you don't want to sum up? OK, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Bain. All those in favour? Against, motion is carried. Takes us to page 31, Public Interest Disclosures Policy and Procedures, with a recommendation on the following page, and I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Bain, how about you? Thank you, just don't pull out the microphones. This is a temporary, just for those who are interested, why there's a lot of shuffling, this is a temporary audio system while we wait for our previous one. Unfortunately, was at end of its life, and we're waiting for our replacement to come. Okay, so we've got a mover in Councillor Bain, and we've got a second in the Deputy Mayor. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. So the Public Interest Disclosure Policy and Procedure Manual essentially outlines the procedures and protections related to public interest disclosures within Council. So this relates to legislation that's commonly referred to as the whistleblower legislation. We know transparency and accountability are key when it comes to council operations, so this document provides a clear path for staff or contractors to report improper or corrupt conduct. The latest version before us only has some very minor changes and has been approved by the Ombudsman, so I'm certainly happy to support the recommendation to adopt it.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. Any further contributions or questions? No? I will put the recommendation then. It's moved by Councillor Bain and seconded by Councillor Gladwright. All those in favour? Against, motion is carried. Takes us to page 118, the appendices, with a recommendation. Are there any questions on the appendices? I'll give you all a moment to go through them. Councillor Cordova.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mayor. This was about the hydrogen bus trial on the 8th of August at Glenorchy. It's really good that we've got engagement with Metro. While they were doing the hydrogen bus trial, did you get any sense of, well, firstly, timelines for the implementation of that, but more importantly, from my perspective, more frequent and reliable bus transport for Kingborough?
Unfortunately, there were no reassurances given at that about more reliable and frequent bus trips for Kingborough. I wish there were, and I am always very vocal in conveying that message to any representative of Metro that I ever meet. The trial is actually a two-year trial of those buses, so that has only just begun. There are three buses that they have. They're rotating them around the various different routes in southern Tasmania because they want to test them on different types of terrain. And I do remember many, many years ago that the now Deputy Mayor had a concept about electric buses, and State Growth said to her, no, that you couldn't possibly run electric buses because they wouldn't get up the southern outlet. And here we are. There you go. She was ahead of her time. I was on a Metro bus the other day, which was not one of the hydrogen buses, and in the lane next to me, we were overtaken by the hydrogen bus. And so I did ask when we had a little, after the presentation about the buses, we had a drive around in one, and I asked about the power, and in fact, they were so powerful that they had to actually rein them in. And I know, because I drive an EV, you put your foot down and it goes. Like, it would be frightening as a learner driver. So they actually had to reduce the power on them because they were too fast. So they certainly can manage the hills in Kingborough. They have a range of approximately 400 kilometres each. And with their current fleet, they only get about 200 kilometres for a diesel bus. So they have great hope for it. The trial so far, it's a very quiet experience. It's like it is the bus version of the EV. And I still, 2 years after starting to drive an EV, I say to any passenger in my car, it's so quiet. And the bus was the same. The only downside to it is that they have a smaller capacity because of the size of the batteries. And so the bus takes, I think it's about 20 less passengers per bus. But given that outside of peak time, there's not a lot of, very rarely will you see our buses full to the brim, I can't see that would be a particular issue. So, yeah, they've got three of them, 2-year trial, and there's a lot of optimism about it. They're also trialling. They have a depot where they, at Mornington, where they will charge them. But one of the things they will also trial in the next 2 years will be portable charging, so that they can get someone to come to them with a charger instead of the bus having to return to wherever its depot is located. So I think in the last 4 or 5 years, that's certainly come a long way and very exciting. And, if that is the future of bus travel, it's very pleasant, very smooth, the drivers like them, and as I said, very quiet, and obviously much better for the environment and much more efficient. And now we just need a lot more of them, and we need them to be on a more regular service for Kingborough.
Fantastic, thank you.
That felt like an advertorial for them, but I was very enthusiastic about it. Councillor Dean.
I'll go first and then I can shuffle this microphone along. Pages 126 and 27 just outline the donations, both your mayoral donations but also just our general council policy donations. And there's a few people in the room that may be interested in those, just because obviously they impact community groups but also individuals. I was just wondering, Mayor, if you could just give a quick 20-second advertorial about those donations and how the community might be able to access those.
Sure.
Recalling in previous years, I feel like we've been undersubscribed, and this year we're obviously oversubscribed, which is really great in the fact that there's lots of people engaging in all sorts of stuff around the country and representing us on the national stage, but just a comment on that would be good as well.
So, thank you. Yes, we certainly do have an allocation every year for both mayoral donations and council policy donations. So generally, the mayoral donations are by request from various organisations, and so you can see there ones like the Jumping Jacks team, the skipping team at Illawarra Primary School, Dress for Success, Speak Up, Stay Chatty, Salvation Army, Tassie Mums, so a lot of different organisations that do fantastic work within our local community that they have applied for and received small donations. And then the large chunk of those funds have gone to individuals who get to represent either Tasmania or even Australia at different championships. And I think there's two things here. It was only about a year ago that we put this online. So people used to have to write in. There's now an application form online. So if anyone who's listening has got a child who is representing, or a young person who is representing the state or even Australia in something, there's a form online, and they just need to provide proof of evidence of what they've been selected for. So it's things like equestrian championships and national athletics ones and cricket and gymnastics. And I think the other thing is that we're seeing we seem to have a huge amount of young people from Kingborough who are being selected. Particularly if you look through here in gymnastics, and I think that's a reflection, as Councillor Cordover would know from his involvement with the Kingborough Gymnastics Club, the high standard that they have through the club, and they certainly are constantly sending. I think they had people going to the World Championships this year and performed really well. So that is assistance that is available. It's $160 for national representation because we appreciate how very much it is an expense for families, and that's just a way that we can assist them. So, certainly encourage people to make use of that if they can. Thank you for the infomercial opportunity. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. Might have another opportunity here for you. interested in the meeting with the Black and Spade Cricket Club on the upgrade of the nets and the change rooms at Sherwood. Can you let us know about that one, and also what stage maybe the project's at?
Yep, so that was a really worthwhile meeting with, they've got a new president and vice president, although I think we had the vice president and the secretary there. Yeah, I think the president was able to make it. So just to talk through, they've got two projects up at Sherbert Oval that they have an interest in. One is the nets, the cricket nets, which are in need of replacement. There is a hole in the middle of the existing nets, and so if there are two two groups who are training in there, the ball could go through the nets and injure somebody who's not focused. It would come across from the other net, so that needs upgrading. And so there's a proposal to move those from their existing site to be on the corner of the block, but also the upgrades of the change rooms there at the Oval, because they've been very substandard. So we were able to talk to them about the timeframes for the project, and we're also waiting for a grant outcome that we should hear in the next couple of weeks, I think. No? Yeah, we were hoping. Well, it all depends on what happens in the wheels of government, doesn't it? But there was certainly a grant application that we had put in relation to, I think, the change room component of the project. In relation to the nets, we hope that they will be available to the club to use from about January next year, so about halfway through their season. So it's progressing, and we'll continue to work really closely with the club in making that become a reality.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? No? Okay, I'm going to move the... Oh, I need a mover and a seconder for the appendices. Got a mover in Councillor Gladewright and a seconder in Councillor Antoli. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Takes us now to notices of motion. Councillor Cordova submitted a notice of motion headed LGBTIQA plus communities and a response from Mr Stewart. Councillor Cordova, and do I have a seconder? Councillor Dean. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, ma'am. So I'm very pleased to be able to move this motion that is asking for the council to agree to move a motion at the Local Government Association of Tasmania meeting. In essence, the recommendation is that our council is more inclusive and accepting because of the work that we've done with our engagement report and our action plan on LGBTIQA+, and that we resolve to sponsor a motion to LGAD. I at first want to acknowledge the work that the LGBTIQA+ working group did at this council, and the chair, particularly Councillor Amanda Midgley, for the work that was done there. Unfortunately, Councillor Midgley isn't here today, and so I'm very pleased to be able to move this motion. But I did want to particularly thank Councillor Midgley for all the work that took place there. To me, this is just a logical extension of the work that we've already done. Basically, I had contact with Equality Tasmania spokesperson Rodney Croom, and basically we've done good work. The action plan sets out I guess it forms a bit of a precedent that Kingborough Council should be really proud of the work that we've done in this space in terms of inclusion. It directly speaks to our strategic plan, which talks about being a more inclusive community. And it does help members of this community to feel more welcome, and also to combat those issues around discrimination and mental health adversity that's experienced by members of that community. So, basically, this costs nothing, but it does reflect our leadership in this space, and it's asking that LGAT encourages other councils to basically follow in our footsteps to show willing to be to go out there and be more inclusive and to be more welcoming. So costs us nothing, but I think for members of that community it does mean a lot to them, and so I think we should support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Dean.
Yeah, thanks. I've got no issue at all with the motion. I was just going again, get Mayor your opinion, I guess, around the wording. You've sat in a lot of LGAT meetings and taken a lot of votes, and I haven't. So I was just wondering around the wording whether you think it's something that is open-ended enough that would get support, but also potentially actually develop some kind of outcomes in terms of encouraging the councils to follow our suit in terms of what we've done. Just again to get your kind of opinion.
Thank you. No, thank you for the question. Look, I think it's appropriately worded, and it will be, unless Councillor Midgley is at the conference in November, then I certainly will be moving this on behalf of Kingborough and encouraging other councils to take our lead, just as we did from a previous motion. I think it was about 18 months ago when we had our diversity and inclusion statement, and we put a motion to a general meeting of LGAT encouraging other councils to to also implement similar statements, which some of them have done. So I'm looking forward to talking about this passionately at the conference, and yeah, I think it's appropriately worded, but thank you for checking. Any further discussion? Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you, and I'm happy for anyone to answer this, what is it through this motion that Legat is not currently doing?
Look, I think it's probably a matter of I guess it's not necessarily currently on their work plan. So Legat is directed by members of the directed by motions that are passed by the councils at the general meetings, and there isn't one currently on their books that is similar to this. So it is the motions such as this, if passed at the general meetings, they provide the impetus for Legat. It directs Legat to focus their attention on these issues. So the way this is worded, then obviously, you know, the bulk of it is in Section B that, Legat would then work with Equality Tasmania and working it out and encourage councils to act in support of their communities through what? It's not specific enough to be directing councils as to how they should do that, because each council area is different, so they would need to work out. That's why it's been kept open-ended like that.
Thank you, Mayor. So, again, through yourself or through to Councillor Cordova, who moved the motion, is Legat not working with Equality Tasmania or working it out currently?
Look, I couldn't tell you. I'm not aware that there is. I did speak to the CEO of Legat about this motion to just check that it was, it would be something that would be in accordance with, I guess, the way that they work. He had no problems with the way that this was worded and believed that it would be something that they could, it would be good to formalise, if you like.
I just did a cursory look at their website, and what I could tell, they've actually been partnering with Working It Out since 2023, and they've been holding these Dorothy Awards with Working It Out ever since. And I understand that in June of this year, Legat co-hosted a Equality Tasmania collaboration event with Working It Out.
They did, and in fact, Councillor Midgley was
attended.
Asked. She was a panel member.
She was a panel member.
She was able to speak about the work that we'd done with the LGBTIQA+ advisory group and our strategy that we developed. So
thank you. Yeah, and I note that there was a forum there with other councils. I understand that there's been a lot of work even before COVID that was done with Legat. I'm trying to understand what this motion enjoins on Legat that they don't currently do. I am anxious to endorse a motion that tells an organisation that seems to be on the forefront, on the cutting edge, and has been since before COVID, how to do their job, or frankly how to suck eggs in this area, which they're currently doing. So if I was the CEO of Legat and I got a motion like this, I don't know if I'd be mildly offended or what that would do. So can you help me understand?
Well, I will defer to Councillor Cordova, but I'll just I'll preface that with saying that, I did run this past the CEO of Legat, and he was perfectly comfortable with this being an appropriate motion to take forward to the general meeting and for councils to vote on. Councillor Cordova, did you want to add to that?
Thank you for the opportunity, Mayor. Yes, so this motion certainly isn't about criticising Legat or saying you're not doing enough or you're failing here. What the motion is fundamentally about is saying we here at Kingborough Council have been leaders in this space. We're proud of what we've done and what we're doing. The work's not over yet, but we're really proud of our leadership position here, and we encourage others to do the same. So it's not so much about repudiating any of the work that Legat has or hasn't done so far. It's reaching out, it's showing our leadership, and it's speaking directly to our strategic plan of being a more inclusive community that has a strong sense of pride and local identity. I have no illusion that this this particular motion isn't going to change the whole world, but it costs us nothing, and to the people of that community it means a lot. And so I think it was a really nice gesture for us to do it, and it's just another step in the pathway that we are taking at this council to be a leader in this space. And I do think it's pretty transparent if we don't try and continue our work in this space, finding reasons to say, well, you know, Legat's already doing a good enough job, therefore we shouldn't really make a statement on it. I think it's a bit transparent that maybe that's not the whole issue here. Maybe there's some more deep more deep-seated issue that we have. Legat, I don't want to say whether Legat has done enough or not enough, but I'm just saying that we here at Kingborough Council are leaders in this space. We should celebrate that, and we should let others know that if they want to be doing a good thing too, then they can follow our lead. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Antoli, does that assist you?
A little bit. So what I'm hearing is that it's not necessarily a motion to say to Legat, do better, follow our example. It's a motion to say to Legat, aren't we great, follow our example. Is that what I just heard?
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. It's about using the platform that Legat provides to encourage other councils to embark on an LGBTIQA+ engagement and an action plan. So we've done a pretty good job at that, and we can use what we've done as a model, as an example, to other councils, and Legat is simply the platform that will share that information with other councils around this state.
Thank you. Councillor Antoli.
So I went over the material from that June conference, and I understand of the 29 councils, 9 already have action plans. Are we saying that the other 20 are resisting and therefore a bit of a nudge or a push is necessary to get them over the line culturally?
I couldn't comment on that because I'm not aware of their reasons, but I don't think it hurts to remind them of there is still work to be done in many of our communities in terms of making sure that the LGBTIQA+ community feels included and supported by their local governments. I don't know why the other 20 haven't implemented strategies or policies, but I don't think a reminder can hurt.
If I can continue, was the leadership of either Equality Tasmania or Working It Out, did either of them approach us or Councillor Midgley to ask us to put this motion forward?
Councillor Cordova is indicating yes.
Yeah. Why was that? Are they feeling like there's not enough support from LGAT?
I'm not aware, but Councillor Cordova might be able to assist.
Yes. I don't want to put words in the mouth of those two organisations, but I want to be absolutely clear and transparent that I was contacted by Rodney Croom from Equality Tasmania, and Mr Croom explained to me that this was an important thing that Equality Tasmania thought would be important, and also to celebrate the work that Kingborough Council has already done. So I do want to be really transparent that this is the culmination of communication with Councillor Midgley, who is very proud of the work that took place with that LGBTIQA+ working group, very proud of the work of the engagement and the action report. And so, yeah, I just want to be very clear that this is, it's a community that's reached out, it's a community organisation that has reached out to me as a councillor and said, you know, this would really mean a lot to us. Would you progress it? And I'm very proud and very unapologetic about progressing it. And as I said before, I think it's a logical step that it's one thing to just do our engagement, write our action report and then put it on the shelf. But I think it's even better to actually, you know, keep encouraging others to walk down this path with us.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. So I've just had my colleagues say that we actually were approached by the CEO of one of the organisations who currently does an enormous amount of work with Legat and has been doing so in recent memory in June, asking us it's important for you to put this forward. I'd like to know why it's important. I'm confused. Is this virtue signalling or is this a genuine motion to make sure that Legat has support to promote this initiative because those around them do not or potentially are resisting support? What is the exact... Because when I look at what they're doing, They're doing everything this motion says. The state government is doing everything this motion says. They're actively supporting what this motion says. So I'm feeling concerned or confused why I, as a council, need to say in this motion I support it so that they can continue to do everything this motion says. Is that the definition of virtue signalling? Because I want action, not virtue signalling.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I think it's important to... Yeah, people who don't support the motion shouldn't vote for it. And if you don't support it, my recommendation through you, Mayor, would be for any councillors that don't support it, that they shouldn't vote for it. I'm responding to... I've spoken with Councillor Midgley, and I also spoke, as I said, with Rodney Croom, who explained to me how important it is for this community to feel heard and to also have a... to have a friend or an ally, if you will, to have an ally in a local municipal council, it means a lot to that community, and I was very happy to support them in their aims, and I think it's worth pointing out, as I would also be happy to support any other community within this municipality who felt like they needed support and they needed a voice around this table. That's my role as a representative, is to try and elevate the voices of people who don't feel heard, and particularly when it comes to issues around discrimination or mental health issues, that where there's a community that's saying, look, this means a lot to us, I'm always happy to help out, and even if there were costs associated with it, I'd be happy to help out. But in this particular case, all it's a matter of is saying to Legat, hey, look how good our report is, look how we're willing to engage with communities in it, with vulnerable communities within Kingborough. We're proud of that work, and we're happy to tell other people about it. So really, I just do want to say that it's not about criticising other councils for not doing it. It's not about criticising Legat. It's really just about supporting this particular community, as I would be happy to support many other communities within Kingborough.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. So the motion doesn't actually say we support this community, because obviously we do because of our avant-garde work in the area. The motion seems to talk about putting it forward so that LGAT supports this community. I find myself caught in a circular argument where we are asking LGAT to do what they are doing, or to do what they are doing because we're doing it better than them or other people, and aren't we great? So that's what I'm hearing so far. I'm not convinced at this stage. I want to support motions that get stuff done. I don't want to support motions that tell people how to suck eggs, especially the good people of Legat and their leadership team. So I'd like to defer my vote until I hear more of the argument around the table, but that's my position based on the answers to my questions so far.
Thank you. Further contributions? Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. Generally, no issue with the idea of all of this. I'm just curious. I guess it's just want to understand a bit more. Point one says that our community is more inclusive and accepting because of our engagement report and our action plan. And I wonder, and maybe it's not important, but I wonder if we've got any quantifiable measure of that. Do we have before and after survey results, or is there anything that is basing that standard that is saying these two pieces of work that we've done, important as they are, have actually resulted in, and can we actually claim that cause and effect?
Councillor Cordova, did you want to answer that? Otherwise, I'll go to Ms. Shakuti.
through you, Mayor, I don't have any evidence at my fingertips.
Because I've got a feeling she didn't hear that question.
So if I can have a go at it, through you, Mayor, I don't have any quantifiable evidence at my fingertips about, as a result of the action, as a result of the work that we did, therefore discrimination dropped by X amount or mental health issues dropped by Y amount. I don't have that kind of quantitative data, but what I can say is, based on my conversations with members of this community and also with spokespeople for that community, it does matter. The work that we have done is well received, and people really take it to heart that we actually didn't ignore them and that we listened to them and that we're trying in a genuine way to make them feel included. So it's not about... I just really want to reiterate that this isn't about a... telling people off or saying that you have to, live your life in a certain way or you have to do this. It's not about politics. It's just about a nice gesture, because we've done well in this space, I feel like we can extend that nice gesture and encourage others to do the same. So it really shouldn't be the level of scrutiny that we're putting to it, I think, is welcome, because we should scrutinise all of our the items on our agenda with such rigour. But I do think it's also a little bit transparent that we scrutinise this so much more than sometimes we do about, you know, issues that cost hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. You know, we give less attention to those sometimes than it feels like we're giving to what is a very, I think, innocuous and genuine heartfelt offer of goodwill to this particular community.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Richardson.
Yeah, thank you. No, I'm not questioning the thought behind it at all, despite Councillor Cordova's kind of attempt at saying otherwise. I'm saying we're making a claim, that a cause and effect claim, and I was just curious if we've actually got anything to back that claim up, or if it's just we've produced two wonderful pieces of work. Anecdotally, people have told us that they think they're great pieces of work. That's one thing, but to say that it's influenced our community to make it more inclusive and accepting on a community-wide basis, is that a fair and reasonable statement to make? That's all I'm coming at.
Okay. Any further contributions? No? Councillor Cordova, did you want to sum up?
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be very brief. I'll once again thank Councillor Midgley, and I'll thank Equality Tasmania and Working It Out. And I'll also thank all the members of the community who provided their input into the work that we've done so far around this community. From my perspective, I really don't want... It's certainly never my intention, certainly not with this motion, to try and divide the council or make people feel, I guess, uncomfortable or put upon. And I respect the firmly held beliefs of all of those people around the table, and that's okay. But also, I just think that this would be a really good thing for our council to do, and that's why I'm so proud to be moving it. But also, I am perfectly comfortable with the idea that there will be some people around the table who don't feel the same way, and therefore, you know, I wouldn't try to twist their arm to vote for it. If you don't support something, don't vote for it, and that's okay too. That's all part of the process. But I just want to once again say I think it's a really good thing to do, costs us nothing, and is a nice gesture. So I'm proud to have moved this motion tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. I'm going to put the recommendation then, moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Dean. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Against.
Okay, division is required. A show of hands, please. All those in favour is Councillors Cordova, Dean, Bain, Richardson Street, Gladewright and Reet. And against is Councillor Antoli. The motion is carried. We are now on page 119, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. I've got a mover in the Deputy Mayor and a seconder in Councillor Bain. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. So thank you very much to members of the public who have been, and particularly to the Scout Group who have stayed with us through the meeting this evening. It's been a pleasure to have you here. This is actually the end of the open session of the council meeting, so it means that you all have to leave us now. We get to stay for a little bit longer, but we appreciate you being here. So in accordance with Kingborough Council's meeting audio recording guidelines policy, the recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. So open session of the meeting adjourned at 6:53 p.m. Thank you very much and good evening.